RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Visit Pensacola each week as we get in-depth with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, Mike Haas along with Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi, and head coach Kellen Moore. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. So it's a 60-minute game. The Saints had the lead for 2 seconds, but it was a pretty important 2 seconds. And you got the win, two straight. You've won three of your last five. Just overall, did what you had to do.
Yeah, I think it was a an entertaining game, certainly. I think all three phases contributed in a positive way. I thought it was a good example of, obviously, resiliency. That's what you need in this league, in this NFL atmosphere. You're playing good teams, and so for our guys to stay in it and be resilient and stick together, I thought was credit to those guys.
Now, Coach Moore, I don't know if I've witnessed this in a while, because I know defensive coaches they tend to look at opposing offense in the chess match that it's hard to have a sustained drive, and I'm talking about double digit drives and ultimately get touchdowns. Now you want to be able to at least get a field goal. But the defense, a lot of times, banking on you're going to make a mistake. And as far as the strategy, how the game was unfolding, look, we had 63 plays. The Panthers had 56. But this caught my attention. After the first three quarters, we only had four possessions and went three and out on the first possession. So when you break down the game, and how do y'all communicate in halftime adjustments and all that? I said, look, we're not going to have that many possessions, so having to take advantage of that. And I felt like, well, sometimes you can say, I don't know, double-digit possessions. The general figure might be 12, whatever. But I thought that was unusual, only four possessions the first three quarters.
Yeah, it was quick. I mean, they had three possessions. We had three possessions. We need it for, the last play of the half. And, for them, they had a couple long drives there, both extend and then really – we had that long drive that took a long time, took most of the second quarter. It was 22 plays, 17 counts, because there's a bunch of penalties in there for both teams. And so, there's a long possession in there. And obviously when you have a first half like that, they're just probably going to mimic that in some degree on the back end on the second half. And so we got to take advantage of every opportunity.
Now, Coach, obviously you got off to a fast start against the Bucks, and you're not chasing points, but what adjustments as a coaching staff can you make maybe to get off to a faster start, both offensively and defensively? Because if you look at it, for the seventh time in 14 games, we did not pick up a first down on the opening drive. And for the ninth time this season, the defense gave up a touchdown on the opening drive, which is the most in the league. But what do you do as a staff when y'all get together and obviously with the players, that how can we consistently get off to fast starts instead of like we did against Tampa Bay and build upon that?
Yeah, no question. I think that's definitely something we got to improve on. We got to start faster. There's been a few moments where we started fast, but we're not starting fast complementary wise as far as offense and defense, working together. And so you'd like to have a big stop and then a score, or a score and then a big stop, and really build that momentum. Feels like, we just haven't had those starts. And obviously it starts with me just finding a better formula for our guys. And so we got to keep talking through that, working through that, and finding the best solution for us.
So, Coach, let's go to the end of the game. The Tyler Shuck quarterback draw up the middle, 12 seconds left. So you're at the Carolina 48. So you knew you were going to have to spike it, I guess. And then you got the penalty, of course, the unnecessary roughness. Just talk about the kind of what you wanted on that play, what you were looking to get out of that play. And then it just felt like everybody was in position at the end of that play, irrespective of the penalty, because you knew you had to spike it. So regardless, they had to be in position to be able to spike it. But just that call, that quarterback draw on what you wanted.
Yeah, so it was a 66-yard field goal. If we stayed there and we essentially tried to play the sideline game, felt like with 12 seconds left, there's risk associated with it, certainly. Seen that in this league before. Felt like if we can get 5 extra yards there, communicated that with everyone. If we get 5 yards here, we'll get 5. We'll go down. Everyone's got to be dialed to get quickly lined up and executed, and you got to have a path for the official, because he's a part of that, that thing, because he's got to get to the ball and all those sorts of things. We felt like if we can get those 5 extra yards, that'd be beneficial for that kick, put it more in that 60-yard range rather than that 66-yard range. And so I think our guys were dialed. They were ready. They communicated, and obviously the penalty changed that factor.
Now, Coach Moore, along those lines, I know every team looks at this. I remember, talking with Sean Payton. Is there, or does it vary team to team, is there exact number of seconds? In theory, even if we hustling, everybody's doing their job. Is it like 12 seconds or above? Or I wouldn't guess it'd be single digits, like 8 or 9 seconds. But what is that magic number that to put yourself in that position, in theory, that we should be able to get this done if every player is doing their job, to get close and in the spike and ultimately have that opportunity to kick the game-winning kick?
Yeah, really 12 seconds is the bottom. That's right on it. And, sometimes – in that thing, I would love to know what tenths of a second it was. Is it 12.01 or is it 12.09? Like, what is it, 12.9? Because obviously all those factors go into it. And so we're right at the bottom of the threshold. Obviously, if you're down, obviously you got to make a decision that's a little bit different. So at least give yourself a chance to, win the game or tie the game. But obviously felt like, that was going to be beneficial for us just to try and utilize that play. And so, it was as tight as can be.
Now, Coach Moore, what I was fired up about is that we kicked ass on 3rd and 4th down offensively. Defensively, we've been getting it done. I want to say like 6 best maybe in the NFL defensively, like 35%, whatever. But I thought we were outstanding. If you combine 3rd and 4th down, 7 of 13, to me, if you hovering 48% or above, and we were 55% on 3rd down, 1 of 2 on 4th down. So you had to be pleased with that aspect of the game and the growth there on 3rd down. That means you possessing the ball and then you controlling the tempo of the game. Ultimately, you want points. But I thought that now if we can do that against the Jets and build upon that, I think that's outstanding by the offense.
Yeah, I thought there were some positives there. Some hard down, 3rd downs too. And so some incredible catches by some individuals, some incredible throws, good protection. I thought everyone contributed to that and obviously had a huge impact on extending some of these drives that led to scores.
Need to take our first break. This is The Visit, Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas along with Bobby Hebert and Saints head coach Kellen Moore. We're back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. The real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hawson, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, along with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Coach, can you talk about Devon Vellet and just the impact that he's had? A guy who doesn't have an explosive. Now, every catch he makes is plus 10, just about, it feels like. And the ability to go up and get it. It's his ball and no one else's ball. So, and it's kind of a two-parter because I want you to, you know, give us the latest, if you can, on his shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, from a medical perspective, we'll see how this thing progresses. Obviously, you know, wasn't able to finish the game, and so we'll just see how this week progresses. But this guy, you know, he's been awesome. He's been awesome. You know, sometimes patience goes through just, you know, the way the early season navigated with a little bit of injury and kind of finding our groove there. He's just been phenomenal. He's, you know, the contested catch, the hard downs, the tough downs, the stuff he does in the run game. You know, some of those plays this past week, you know, really sparked plays for us in some challenging situations early in that game to come up with some big-time catches. Obviously sparked us and gave us an opportunity to get that thing going.
And Coach Moore, looked up by guys stepping up and having to deal with injuries. I thought, no, they weren't here in off-season OTAs, mini camp, training camp, and all that. I thought that they not overwhelmed. It looked awesome. Hall and Estime. And I'm looking, okay, no Alvin Kamara. Kendre Miller, we all know he's out. Then Devin Neal, he scored a touchdown, then he's out. So I thought that was big time, and you need that. And you know, you say the old cliche, next man up. Well, no, it might be the case come Sunday. And a lot, you want to last long in this league, and you get opportunity, take advantage of it. And I think a great opportunity for Estime and Hull right now.
No question. I think those guys are just two examples of many guys who stepped up and when their opportunities presented themselves. And that's what NFL seasons are. You start with an initial 53-man roster, and it's just inevitable in this league. It's going to look a lot different as the season progresses. And these guys, when their opportunity is presented, they got to be ready to roll. And so I thought those guys did an excellent job. You know, obviously running the football, some screens that became explosive plays, and the protection always becomes a huge aspect of it as well.
Now, Coach Moore, I thought this was outstanding, especially the first time we played them, that being the Carolina Panthers, where defensively the question I have for you, what did y'all do, you and Coach Staley, to play the run better? Because I'm looking at the first game, we gave up 73 yards rushing, which is a tough task against Dotto and Chuba Hubbard. But then I'm looking at the first quarter, I'm like, whoa, this game looks a little different. They had 67 yards rushing, they're averaging 5.2 yards a carry. But then when you look at it, we held Dotto to just 3.1 average and Chuba Hubbard to 3.6. Now, Bryce Young end up like Tyler Shuck making plays with his feet where, you know, he had 7 carries for 49 yards. But we were able to contain, I think, more than any other team. You look at Carolina, they ride at 507-7. I don't think any defense has played as well against Carolina in that duo than we have as far as average per attempt. I want you to comment on that. But also, what did y'all do after that first quarter to really play better run defense?
Yeah, I think a lot of it just comes down to just being really clean, assignment sound, playing together. The communication's got to be outstanding, which it was. You know, we got some veterans who communicate at a really high level. And so, you know, guys are in their gaps. Guys are sound. Guys know how they fit, how they have to fit the runs. You know, they do an excellent job. I think Brandon and this entire defensive staff just doing a phenomenal job just in the preparation of giving our guys the looks to anticipate what's coming and trusting that process.
Coach, can you talk about the progression of Tyler Shuck and, you know, 24 of 32, 272, the touchdown, and also 32 yards running. But when you kind of watch the tape again today, and you just, if you focus on him and just watch his progression with his eyes. It's, man, it's fast, left, right, right, left. It's so much, it feels so much more fast than it was earlier. I just wonder how you think his progression is coming on those lines of moving through his progressions.
Yeah, I think Tyler's just done an excellent job through this whole process from the second he got here after getting drafted, and his preparation and his growth has been awesome. You know, I think Scott Tolzien's one of the best in the business as far as helping these guys develop, you know, and so I think it's just been a really good process for him through training camp, through the early part of the season when he's, you know, the scout team quarterback. He's number two. He's ready if he's called upon, but he's doing everything he can to prepare. And so obviously he's taken advantage of some phenomenal opportunities as the season's progressed. Thought he, you know, settled in there nicely in this game. And obviously, you know, really you look at those last couple drives of the game. That was just big time football. That's all you can ask for.
Now, Coach Moore, you're talking about progression as a quarterback. And I think I agree kind of. I heard Tom Brady with this comment. I go, I know exactly what he's talking about. And then I look at a 44-year-old like Phillip Rivers. How important it is to me, this would help me. I knew where in the hell I was going with the ball a lot of the times pre-snap read. Now, you want to move the cover guys, you know, safeties, whatever, with your eyes. But you can almost anticipate the more experience you get that even before they could disguise coverage and all that, but how important the pre-snap read is. Even if they get an unbelievable pass rush against you, you know where in the hell to go with the ball.
Yeah, I think it's, I completely agree. I think, you know, it's every quarterback has to have a plan for every play, and every play has stress points. Every play has, you know, certain objectives that you're trying to accomplish. And sometimes it doesn't go that way. And so when you have your plan of attack, you understand, okay, here's my outlets, here's my checkdowns, or, hey, here's the ideal look. And when I get it, I trust it and I let it rip. You know, I think that's a big part of this thing. And so, I think Tyler's done a nice job of just trusting those progressions, having a plan, you know, being really decisive with the football. And so, you see that certainly show up the last few weeks.
Need to take another break. We'll be back with more of the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore as the Jets come into town for the final game at Caesars Superdome this year. We're back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Moving on to next week, kind of briefly brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing First in Service as the 3-11 Jets come into town. But really at this point, as maybe it's kind of the last few weeks, it's really been more about your team and what you're doing as opposed to the opponent. Now, we've talked a lot about offense and slow start. I want to kind of talk about the second half and really fourth quarter defense. So your fourth quarter defense, fewest points, second fewest points allowed, fewest yards allowed. Same thing yesterday. Carolina had 42 yards in the fourth quarter, 0 points. And then a little deeper, just that fourth quarter at the 11-minute mark, fourth and one at your 34. I think it was Jonathan Bullard, and really a lot of the defense got the penetration. But the impact of that fourth and one stop, you know, late in the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, playing your best football when the best is needed. And so that fourth quarter, I thought defensively just did a phenomenal job, you know, for us. You know, we missed – they obviously missed their fourth down, then we missed our fourth down, and then we got a three and out after that. And so the way we responded right there was just really big-time football and allowed us to kind of keep that thing going. And so, you know, made some big stops down the line, gave us opportunities to go score on offense. And then, you know, that last drive when they had a chance to go – potentially get some points, you know, just some big time stops in there and gave us a chance at the end.
Coach Moore, I thought Chase Young stepped up big time. A very strong finish, leading the team, a tie with Sanker and Bullard with 6 tackles, a sack, 2 quarterback hurries, 2 tackles for a loss, 3 straight games in the dome. Hopefully he makes it 4 straight games in the dome with a sack as the Jets come to town. Boy, and I saw this in training camp. I was like, if Chase Young, we didn't know he was going to get hurt for the season and then missing 5 games. I said, I don't know how Chase Young cannot have double-digit sacks. I thought, for sure, double-digit, if not, I don't know, 12 or 13. I'm not saying he's Myles Garrett. But Chase Young, you know, we invested in him, and I thought that's what you need to do as a player, impact the game at the end to help us win, and Chase Young was able to do that.
Yeah, I think it's relentless effort, and that's what defense linemen and edge rushers, they just got to keep going, and you're going to make those impact plays as this game progresses. And so obviously Chase has made just some big time plays. It seems like in these, you know, end of half drives, these 2-minute drives, he's got to have a fourth down situation. Seems like he's coming up with making these plays. And so credit to him, you know, he's a guy that's going to keep getting better each and every opportunity he has, keep improving. And, you know, he's got tons of potential to be one of the best.
Now, Coach Moore, with the Jets coming to town, I don't know if I've ever witnessed this. You know, they have zero interceptions this season. And you'd think by accident the ball would pop up or something, or they'd have at least one pick. They only have three takeaways on the season. But their defense, third down defense, a lot like us, they rank fourth in the NFL. So they're getting off the field. But I can give you one strategy right now when you go into special teams meetings. And we talk to the New York media. The only way they score is either return a punt or a kickoff. So I'm like, kick it out of the end zone or angle punt out of bounds. They actually won a game. Then that's the two touchdowns they had was a return kickoff and a punt. So I'm like, don't kick them the damn ball. Help us Sunday.
Obviously, yeah, we'll, as we go through this game plan stuff, obviously, you know, these guys have done some good things. They've been in a bunch of games. They've competed at a really high level. I have a ton of respect for AG and what he's building there. And so, you know, this defense has been opportunistic as far as making stops on third downs. They've been close on some turnovers. You see a bunch of them on film just watching it today. You know, the ball's in guys' hands. There's some contested opportunities. They just haven't been able to come down with them. And so we got to do a really good job of protecting the football in this game on offense.
Coach, the ability to have rookies who probably aren't rookies anymore, Jonas Sanker, Kelvin Banks, Quincy Riley. So I don't know. We don't know how they grade out, you know, when it's all said and done. I know Quincy would have loved to have had that pick, you know, when he jumped it. But that play that he makes on Tet in the second quarter, the slant pattern where, you know, it's a touchdown that he basically pulls out Tad, you know, behind, but just a great play by Riley to stick with it and pull that ball out.
Yeah, huge play, 4-point play, which obviously in a game like that makes a huge difference. Again, I think it's just a good example of the effort, the finish, the things we talk about each and every week. You know, his ability to play all the way through the catch, you know, keep fighting for that ball and get it out, and had a huge impact on the game.
I'm looking at right now, we're the lone team that has have the winning record in the division. Now, it's kind of weird that we're still not involved to have a chance to win the NFC South, but I thought, what do you do within your division? That's going to bode well. You look, we're 3-2 in the NFC South. Look at the Bucks; they're 2-2. Carolina 2-2. Atlanta's 2-3. And I don't know if you're watching that game on Thursday night. I go, how in the hell Atlanta won? They had 19 penalties. How can you win that game? And Kirk Cousins came up big time. But you got to be proud right now what you've done within the division. Because first things first, and you got to take care of your division. And we could build upon that, but you got to be proud of the team, what they've done against a common opponent that you're always going to play twice a year.
Yeah, these division games are big. You're going to play these every single year. You're going to play these teams multiple times. They're going to have huge impacts on each and every season we have. And so, you know, I just love how our guys are continuing to fight, to battle, to play together. I think it's a great example of what we're building. You know, we need to play meaningful December football, and this year may not lead us to a playoff opportunity. But we're going to get used to these habits and keep doing it moving forward.
Well, Coach, we love it. Two in a row, keep stacking with the Jets, final game at home. And it was, you know, not a huge crowd, but it was a very vociferous crowd, and they played a big impact. And great win, and just keep them coming.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back, Bobby Hebert and I will continue on. We'll be talking with Jari Evans, the assistant offensive line coach for the Saints, and, of course, waiting for that call to Canton that hopefully someday we'll call. We'll talk with Jari Evans when we come back here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back.
take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and just thrilled to be joined by former Saints offensive lineman, now assistant offensive line coach, Jari Evans. Jari, welcome to the show, my friend.
What's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
We are good. Now, I've known you for a while. You know who I sit next to, and I need you to be honest. If we'd have talked in California towards the end of camp this year, and I said, hey, man, we got a Week 15 game playing Carolina. Carolina's got a lot on the line, and you got William Sherman, Luke Fortner, Torricelli Simpkins on the O-line, handing off to Audric Estime and Evan Neal. What would you have said?
Oh, man, definitely wouldn't have been expecting that or even thinking about that happening. But we've had some injuries this year, but guys have been stepping up.
No, they've done – that was kind of the point, right? It's like – I mean, guys that weren't even really on the roster, weren't even with the team until some late trades and waiver pickups. And this is beyond really kind of next man up because these guys are replacing the guys who were next man up.
Yeah, no, you're right. And here we are with two back-to-back wins. So, I mean, you know, I think that's a credit to those guys. And that's part of being a professional is being ready when your number is called and taking advantage of those opportunities and, you know, those chances that you get to go out there and display what you can do.
Now, Jari, you know who was a pro's pro to me and unsung hero and you coaching him? And all of a sudden, you got to go in at tackle. I know you've been practicing guard, but I look in that Tampa Bay game how William Sherman stepped up. I mean, you know how those offensive line meeting rooms go. And I'm looking at William Sherman. I'm like, okay, he's a Colorado Buff, going in his second year, Raleigh, North Carolina. But all of a sudden, the more you could do, no, we need you to play tackle right now in a real game. And not no scrimmage or preseason. I thought he did an outstanding job when he came in for Richards.
No, you're exactly right. You know, both games last week and this week, you know, it's a testament to him just putting the hard work and time in on knowing what to do and going out there and handling it and getting it done. And throughout the season since he's been with us, he has been putting time in on the scout team at tackle and in guard, training at both of those positions. So, you know, I think it definitely paid dividends for him these last 2 weeks. And here we are with back-to-back wins.
Now, Jari, what can you say? Because, you know, like talking to Coach Moore, the roster changes and who's available. Who's on the practice squad and who's all involved in that meeting room. What can you tell us about Xavier Truss? I mean, I'm looking at he can, you know, play tackle or guard, the rookie out of Georgia. He was waived by Denver. That's how we got him. We're familiar with Simpkins. You know, the rookie, that was a free agent we got from the South Carolina Gamecocks. But how would you compare those two young cats, like Simpkins and Xavier Truss, as far as providing depth in the future?
Yeah, you know, X is a big guy. You know, I see him more as a tackle than a guard. And I actually talked to Stinchcomb about him, you know, when he was coming out of Georgia. But, X is a big guy. You know, his biggest thing is just speeding up his footwork, you know, getting his feet to get quicker and faster off the ball and pass protection and run game. But he's been doing some good things in practice with the scout teams. And I think, you know, we got to see Torricelli, you know, tenacity that he brings to the game and just getting his technique to be more consistent and getting him to play in better body position is going to, you know, propel him to be the pro that he wants to be.
Can you talk a little bit about there's one of the last stats is a miscellaneous stat, right? And so Dylan Radins has had a couple of miscellaneous stats in the last few weeks. And in the Miami game, he makes probably what is a touchdown-saving tackle on an interception, a pick six. It looks like, you know, he's going the distance. And then yesterday, third quarter, Carolina had just scored. They're up 17-7. Mason Tipton gets hit. Ball comes out. And if Carolina gets it, they're at the 25. But instead, it's Dylan Radins who gets a fumble recovery. So he's got a tackle and a fumble recovery. Just the impact of those plays.
Yeah, those are two big head-up plays. You know, those are kind of negative plays on the offense. But at the same time, those are hustle plays by the O-line, you know, being alert, staying in tune to the game and understanding what's happening. And as you see with the fumble recovery, that was a big play for us. So that was a good hustle by him getting to the ball. He's been doing some good things. You know, he's a high draft pick that we were able to acquire earlier in the season that's wound up playing in some big roles for us thus far this year.
Now, Jairee, what about a seasoned veteran and the more you could do? And you remember in your career when you were with these kind of players and then you coach them, and I guess it's a lot to do with communication that because they really appear. To me, if you get and you vested, you 4 years or more, you kind of know what's the gig and what you have to do. And I'm talking about Radins. You know, now he's going in his fifth year from North Dakota State. We get him from the Titans. And then Fortner, look at a fourth year out of Kentucky. We got him in the trade in Jacksonville. So just talk about those two guys cause, and how you communicate with them because it's a whole lot different than, I guess, you might say, I don't think you tell me you treat everybody the same because I think that's a bunch of BS. Anyway, but Radins and Fortner compared to, like Truss and Simpkins and how you coach them up in different aspects as far as their experience and whether they're just coming on board.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, and we had some injuries last year up front, is with Dylan and with Luke. You know, those guys are kind of vets. You know, they're backup players, but they're players that have seen some playing time and understand what it takes throughout the week and your preparation and knowing what to do and getting the guys on the same page from Luke's perspective that he's been doing a great job with. To go out there and win a game. And I think we're seeing that just the level that those guys have played at throughout their career thus far in the NFL, you know, they are backup players, but they've also been in some starting roles and some roles where they had to go out there and compete at a high level, and they're doing that for us.
Jairee, I think you're the best interior lineman in Saints history. I'd put Willie Rolfe at tackle in that regard. But, you know, you could try to be great at everything, and when you're working on your craft, what would you say? I would think probably that you always could kick somebody's butt run blocking. That I think in the NFL level, that pass blocking was maybe something, okay, this is a little different than at Bloomsburg, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? So what would you say was more challenging? Was it pass protection or versus run blocking? And you could throw in schemes, whatever, from an intellectual standpoint, but just break that down for the fans.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I say from my perspective, I think you're exactly right. I also think it depends on what's kind of playing style or system that you come from in the college game. For me, coming from Division II, Bloomsburg University, we were more of a run team, outside zone. We did some sprint draw stuff. We weren't a big drop back team. But then I get to the NFL and you know, I wind up playing for the best quarterback to ever play the game, throwing for 5,000-yard seasons, and we dropped back a lot. So that was one thing that my coaches early on in my career always harped on is making sure that I'm always working on my technique. And we also ran the ball well, too. So, you know, I think the biggest thing up front for guys is to make sure that you're doing the ongoing skill development, developing your technique, finding new ways to win at the line of scrimmage, finding new ways to play lower, new things to add to your game and to sharpen the tools that you have to put in your toolbox.
And it's been a challenge, of course, because you've different quarterback, you know, halfway through eight games. So Tyler Shuck, who is different, he's taller and you know, different than Spencer in that realm. And also, he's pulled it down and run. So you've got an offensive line who's new, dealing with a new quarterback, and a quarterback who is, you know, likes to use the mobility. How much of a challenge is that to get this line ready, you know, for a quarterback who will use his legs like Tyler's doing?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's a huge challenge. You know, the scheme is the same scheme we have implemented throughout the offseason, and Shuckster's doing a good job, man. He's really progressing. You see it from week to week, and he's getting more comfortable in it. And, you know, the guys are rallying around him and coming down with balls and making plays around him. And he's making a lot of plays himself. And this is some of the things that we've kind of seen throughout the season in practice and in the scout team. And it's just good to see those guys go out there and perform and take it to the game field. And then being able to just to play with grit in these last two games to finish out to get a W, it's been awesome to watch these guys work.
Now, Jari, this is like coach to coach because, you know, Nugent's the offensive line coach, and you're his mm-hmm. assistant. Talk maybe about how your communication, what y'all week like, and then when you do have, spare time, do you ever, shoot the bull with Zach Strieff? Hey, how's it going on with the Broncos line, and then vice versa? How does that work? Because, you know, when you're friends for life, and you can be on a different team, but just talk about maybe that relationship and those relationships you develop like coach to coach or former players, and now you're building the profession coaching.
Yeah, it's funny you asked that question. I did talk to Zach earlier in the year. I haven't talked to him in a while, maybe in about a couple, 4 or 6 weeks or so, but they're playing well over there. And actually, Will Sherman was actually with Denver. So, I've talked to him about some of the things that Zach and, you know, taught him while his time there and some of the things that I'm teaching him here. But yeah, no, it's just awesome that, you know, Zach's in it winning games and I'm getting accustomed to it. It's my third year coaching three different offensive systems. So, you know, I'm really learning the system. This year is my first year in this system, and last year was my first year in that system too. So basically just, you know, just learning the different things that each system brings. But at the end of the day, you know, I enjoy coaching the guys on their technique, how to play lower, how to have lower pad level, hand placement, you know, first step, second step, you know, where are my landmarks in the run game? Where are my targets for my hands in the passing game? You know, that's what I really focus on when I'm coaching these the O-line and the young guys up.
So, Jari, fourth time as a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame. Do you just kind of let it do its thing, right? You know, last year it was in New Orleans, it was a lot more focus. This time you got Drew in that class, Reggie Wayne. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Do you kind of not think about it, or just see what happens?
Yeah, it's not that I don't think about it. It's definitely an honor, man. And then, you know, for me being the finalist the last couple years, is, you know, I just kind of just tell myself it's not about if, it's about when. So, you know, hopefully it's this year. And as I talk to more and more Hall of Famers throughout the year, you know, they say the same thing. But obviously last year was the new voting process to actually get in with the 80% rule. So it's going to be even more difficult to get in moving forward. But it's not like I'm going to go out there and do any more work. So the work's all done.
Are you sure? Phillip Rivers? I mean, come on, man.
I know, right? Who has a different position, though? That's a different position. But, no. Yeah.
So my last question, just give us a little sense of what makes Kelvin Banks special. And I don't know what you said to him. I saw the block. He was just drive blocking that guy. He got the penalty for taunting. But I guess what makes him special?
Yeah, that was one of his better finishes on the year, if not his best finish on that block on the linebacker. But KB, man, he is He is he's a bright football player. He plays the game the right way. He has good quicks. His footwork is smooth. And I think he has an elite outside hand. You know, I think he has a really elite outside hand. He plays with length, and he's just going to get better. The more he, you know, the one thing I work with him on is just learning how to study his opponent. I think the more he's able to recognize different moves in the passing game, in the protection game that guys are trying to do, the more he's able to get more pre-snap reads, you know, when he has to gain leverage on the backside versus, you know, if he's behind leverage or has the leverage and how to gain it in the first step. So the more he just becomes a student of the game and also a student of his body mechanics, I think he's going to be a real good player down the future.
Well, my friend, best of luck. We hope things work out the rest of this season. Just keep those W's coming, and we hope Canton does come knock on your door because you're certainly deserving. Ring of Honor, Jari Evans, we appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Who dat?
Who dat? Bobby, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Thanks for all the help.
Yeah, we need Jari to get Cesar Ruiz better. All right. All right, thanks, Hoss.
All right. Thank you, Bobby. Take a break. We'll come back, and we'll go back to the Silver Slipper, talk to Mike Dettillier, talk about Monday Night Football, the NFC South, the playoffs starting to shape up here. So we're back after a quick break. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Show. Mike Hoss, along with NFL college analyst du jour Mike Dettillier, back at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. So Monday Night Football, and a few weeks ago, maybe at the, you know, kind of first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, I don't know that we would have looked at this game, Miami and Pitt, and said, hey, that's going to be an important game for both of those teams. But Pittsburgh at 7-6, first in the AFC North. Miami at 6-7, still in the hunt in the AFC East, if you will, for possible wild card slot. And so it's a game that, you know, both teams kind of a slow start, but it's gotten some interest.
Yeah, for Miami, they figured it out. Let Achane run the ball. I mean, yeah. You know, fastest running back in the NFL. I mean, he's got just elite speed and got a nice 1-2 punch. They got a power and thunder sort of power, not say the thunder and lightning backfield with Achane and, you know, Oklahoma State running back who's really good too between the tackles. And then it can hit you deep every once in a while with Jalen Waddle. But, you know, it all depends on Tua, you know, to be honest with you, what type of game he has. The Steelers have been wildly erratic. They have not been able to stop the run as good as they have in years past. And to be honest, Mike, they haven't been able to run the ball like they did in the past. They've gotten away from it, from what has won from them in the past. So, Dolphins, when everybody thought, you know, this might be it for Mike McDaniel, they fired the GM, and then, man, they've gotten hot all of a sudden. But, again, they figured it out. Hey, the football's not that heavy. Let the Achane run it.
And the Jets come to town for the Saints, you know, this next week. And so Aaron Glenn, the head coach, but they get beat. They give up 34 points in Week 14, 48 points in a loss to Jacksonville. So they let Steve Wilks, their defensive coordinator, go. So, What do you see in this team coming to town?
Well, their offensive line on paper would look good, but you know they've been very inconsistent running the football. The passing game is, man, wildly erratic. Also, you got Brady Cook, and Brady Cook was a good college player at Missouri. He really was, but this the NFL. It's a totally different animal, so to speak. On defense, they have not had one interception all season long. Not a one. Mike, think about that. When's the last time we could say that this deep into the season you got none?
Yeah, I didn't think it was possible.
Come at one time or another, the ball got to bounce your way and into the hands of somebody. Hopefully that don't happen this week. But, you know, they traded off Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, two best players on the defensive side, the football. They certainly playing for next year. And almost as though they look like they've checked out. The way Jacksonville beat them yesterday, you know, they weren't even in tune in that football game. Hopefully that happens again. Now, again, Jacksonville, Trevor was hot, really hot yesterday. And I remember this was early August. And we had Pete Jenkins, longtime defensive line coach, and he had worked with the Jaguars defensive front. And he told me, he said, you want a dark horse team in the AFC? I said, give it to him. He said, Jacksonville. He said, their defense is really good. And he said, I think Trevor's in tune. They remember, they're winning and not without Travis Hunter. You know, their first-round pick guy. You know, he's been on injured reserve for weeks. But they're getting it done. Brian Thomas Jr., ATN, got a lot of Louisiana flavor with them. But, man, the Jets didn't put up much of a fight yesterday, to be honest with you.
So as we look at the three games left, and you got a couple of 7-7 teams in the NFC South, and they play each other for the first time, week 16. So Tampa will be at Carolina, Tampa at Miami, then home to Carolina. So I could just flip that, you know, same situation. Carolina has Tampa, Tampa. They're also home with Seattle. I mean, the way they've looked of late, I don't know if you can make one a favorite coming down the stretch. Maybe Carolina has a tougher game with Seattle than Tampa with Miami, but I don't know what to make of Tampa anymore.
You got me on that one, too. They've been a very mercurial team. Early in the season, they had banked on Baker Mayfield to bail them out. And that hasn't happened the last few weeks. Though, the lump came in the throat when Baker got it with, I think it was a little less than 2 minutes left against the Saints. And I'm like, oh, no, this can't happen again. Because I've seen it with him before. And the Saints were able to get him off the field on that fourth down play. But I know they've been injured. They've got a lot of injuries on that football team. I think just because of experience, having been there, done that, and the Panthers got no experience in these type of outlets, I'd give the Bucs a slight edge here, Mike, but, man, how could you lose that game Thursday night against the Falcons? The Falcons, 19 penalties? That's unbelievable how you can win with 19 penalties.
And kind of how they won. I mean, Tampa's got the lead, and then Atlanta has three drives, like 12 plays, 10 plays. It's kind of like
– no pass rush.
Right.
Nothing.
It's not that they lost. It's like how they lost.
All I can say is every time Kirk Cousins play him, he looks like Tom Brady. I mean, okay, he can't move that much left or right, but the Bucs got no pass rush on him, nothing. And he just sat back there, and they finally got Kyle Pitts heavily involved. Man, did he make him some money Thursday night. And against that Tampa 2, what is open? The middle of the field. They took full advantage of Pitts in that area, and they did it without their best target outside. Think about that. They didn't have Drake London, and they still figured out a way to win. Mike, it's remarkable. I watched that game again and said, how in the world could they have lost that game against the Falcons? Bijan's always going to play big time. I think he's one of the best players in the NFC. But, my goodness, you talk about a race. You couldn't script anything better than this, and the NFL loves it. You know why? Peeping eyes. Everybody wants to watch a race at the end, and they got it in the NFC South between the Panthers and the Bucs.
We will see. Three games to go. Thank you, my friend. Mike
DeTillier
and Bobby Hebert from the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. My thanks to Kellen Moore and, of course, assistant offensive line coach Jari Evans. Charlie Long in the booth tonight. The Saints with their final home game of the season. The Jets come in at noon, and then they are at Tennessee, and they will wrap it up week 18 against the Falcons. Thanks for listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, and we will look for you next week after hopefully a third win in a row on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.